Right, your name is Dave Nelson. Can't wait. But tell David he's got to take Nasa early. Come on, Henry. Yeah, I can't offer it to our hopefuls for the job in Honduras. He's gonna take Nasa, and he should take it early so I can give the woman the other job. Nasa's a good job, I love it. Okay, okay, Scott, we'll bring you back.
You may. My, indicative daughter would have owed my president tomorrow. Could lead up to that Paris with that. And he said, Dr. Kissinger and I have... No, he was very conciliatory. He said, Dr. Kissinger and I have agreed to make no comment on the private talks. Therefore, I have nothing to tell you. And they said, when one newsman asked him whether he had hopes of peace by Christmas, he replied, I'm always optimistic.
Stringing you along.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
He's
certainly stringing me along. The only question is whether I should do it on a day when he has said that we have an agreement not to say anything.
Well, Henry, if we keep diddling, we won't get the bombing going, we won't get the mining going, and all the rest. Now, understand, I've been the one that's holding back up to this point, but now I'm the one that's...
I agree with
I think that
everything that
we're in this late last night, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing in terms of the words, but I'm trying to get
no,
it going
in
style.
I agree completely with what... In fact, I have no comment to make because I agree with it.
Actually, I want you to be in the light where you're not there being defensive, you're not there saying what we should. Just, I want to give you an up-to-date report. Here is what's your birthday today.
Well, and I can use his statement as an excuse for not going into detail.
Yes. I'm not going to get into detail. I simply want to give you a status report as to where it stands. Now, you can go tomorrow if you want. If you do, it's all right with me.
But you think you should do it today?
No. Tomorrow's fine.
Well,
tomorrow's fine, but the bombing's got to go Monday.
Sunday.
I cannot hold the bombing up.
No, I'm not urging holding up the bombing.
If you are, tell me, because
No.
Do you understand? I think that once we decide to go down a certain track here, you've got
to... There's no advantage in holding up the bombing. Their strategy is up.
Didn't you for a week?
No. Their strategy is to give us enough hope for peace so that we won't do anything but not give us peace. I mean, that's up. I'm just thinking...
One other thing you can just wait and do it the day after Christmas. You're going to postpone and do the whole thing after Christmas like we did in 1971. Blast for a week and enjoy it. But it was that long enough.
You won't be... Frankly, when you start, you have to keep going.
All right. Wait a minute. Is that long enough before we change our negotiating position? Yeah, that's why I want to know. You see, I can use the bomb until they get the prisoners back.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
With 50 Jews. Every night, there's going to be a 50 Jew over that place. Every night, it's a sock in, there's going to be a 50 Jew over that
place. Well, the P-52s can go anytime.
That's the point. But Henry... You remember that one? Look, I saw a very, very small win in Bogota. I mean, perhaps I was there a month or 2 months. The Japanese had these little planes, you know, the engines were not synchronized, you know, they were... Every night, they send over this goddamn plane. And so they just fly around and so forth. Now and then they get a box on you. We'd all be sitting there in those goddamn foxholes, not getting anything, shivering. It's the son of a bitch when I hit us. That's what I want to do to these people. Every night until they stop.
same time to wait. The advantage of going today is that there's a 48-hour time period before we hit on Sunday.
Order today, have it hit Sunday.
That's right. And so the advantage of doing it today is that people don't have to get used on Saturday to hear for the first time that they're settling the negotiation. Bingo, Sunday, you go. On the other hand, it means that the nitpickers can start writing their analyses for the Sunday papers. If I go today, I'm just giving you the case. If I go tomorrow...
And you couldn't go Monday on the bombing.
No, you could go Sunday on the bombing anyway. It would be a tremendous 1-2 punch. I go on Saturday. Next morning, you bomb them.
All right, good. Go ahead.
That's a case. There's a case to be made for the fact that people... But it might be that the shock gets to be too great to people, that one evening they hear that the negotiations are in trouble and the next morning B-52s are over Hanoi.
It's going to be great anyway. What do you mean? How do you make the shock last? Wait 3 days and then bomb them?
Is that reasonable? Go today. It's Sunday.
Fireworks has a chance to be a permanent, you may not want to say that, but a lasting peace. sir, this is a good line. You can argue on yourself, you can expect an agreement which would humiliate the other, or one which would give one an advantage over the other, which will enable one nation or the other to start the war again, and all something like that again. Both the North and South must recognize they have an obligation to change their conflict from the battlefield to the ballot box. Both the South Vietnamese and the communists and South Vietnamese will also learn to be prepared to present their case to the people, to accept the verdict of the people, what kind of government the people have.
I slightly lean towards slipping the process 24 hours of going.
Yeah.
Of going tomorrow and hitting Monday. But I'm not. I don't feel we can't go. We can't let it go Monday.
Henry, here's a damn good line. That's the prospects of the future. We are going to continue to press for a settlement, but we are patient because after this very long war, we will not settle for a very short peace. That's a lead. That's a hell of a lead. I thought that was the middle of the night. You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
after this very long run, we're not going to make it. We're not going to settle for a very short peace. And then the idea that we will continue to negotiate whatever the other side is willing to negotiate on all the remaining points, which admittedly are technical. But lacking the goodwill on both sides, couldn't really be fatal to break the agreement down if we do not work them out at this time. But the idea is it's all more effective than we've agreed on the principle. See, that holds up to the pieces of hand thing. So what I've been trying to do is to rationalize the whole case here.
I thought it was a superb paper.
It isn't a superb paper because I haven't thought it through as well, but it gives you, some lines. I thought it through. To get you some lunch, and why don't you go tomorrow? And let us go to something else today.
Let me just check with Ron.
Shall we do shoot?
Yeah, well, let me go check with Ron. It would be better.
You want all of them too?
Yeah.
No.
Or it's up to you. It's usually a good assessment. One other.
I like it. It's good Liberto saying this. Because this, however, plays in the line of making it more. Less belligerent, less the sorrow. Mr. Lager, please, and Mr. Hall.
That's
right.
Away. See, one other thing, Mr. President, is I'm just trying to think of all the angles. Lee Dacto will be in Peace on Sunday. He's coming back to Hanoi on Monday. I'm just wondering whether it isn't better for us to plop ahead than when he's not in Peking.
Well, those things are in, but
it's not decided.
I mean, one day. You could wait another day, maybe you can go even Monday. The only thing I don't like,
it builds up too much.
No, it builds up too much.
I've got to go. I must go no later than tomorrow.
Oh, good.
No. I must go.
But then clobber, you can wait for a day.
We might.
I just do not clobber Sunday.
I think that's all right with you, except we'll be getting to clobbering on Monday.
Yeah. And then he'll be out in the
He'll be back in Hanoi that day.
Good. That's the day to begin, Monday. That gives him 48 hours.
And,
all right, fine. That's the line. Okay. Go tomorrow.
Then we have to put off the mining 24 hours, too. The mining that goes Sunday.
Mining Sunday? That's
all right.
That's good.
I don't want the mining. We can announce tomorrow that Haig is leaving Sunday night, or we can announce it Sunday morning that Haig is leaving Sunday night.
I'm also about a letter.
I think that beats it better. But I think this is out.
Okay. Is that 2:30 in the morning?
I'll turn this one out.
No,
I think this is exactly the line.
Keep on. Problem. And
Now we face the problem that Leduc Cole has said this morning, leaving Paris, that he and I have an agreement not to comment on the private talks, and as a result, even saying anything, and that he remains optimistic. Now, that, of course, is their strategy of diddling us along, of giving us just enough hope that they'll settle, and never giving us quite enough to complete it. So, the alternative course is that we let this ride today, so that I'm not, so that we don't look precipitate, so that we don't look like flying off the handle. I go on tomorrow. We start the minor military action on Sunday, which won't get too many clips.
But the bombing comes Monday.
And do the massive one on Monday.
Now the problem here is who shot John. They'll say Lee Doc told me a very conciliatory statement, there was still hope in the Kistner. But the way that memo was written, as you know, doesn't knock the hope down either, does it?
But they'll say this anyway, whether I go, that depends in part on whether I can catch the tone of your memo. Your memo doesn't say a pistol on it. Your memo says we've got some tough problems which if aren't solved, we're not going to have a lasting peace. We want to solve them. They can be settled quickly, but we are not going to be maneuvered either by false euphoria or by toughness. Now, that problem, whether I go today or tomorrow, they're going to say, here's Leader Go optimistic. The case for going tomorrow rather than today is as follows. One, this minor issue of being optimistic, of what Leader Go said today, at least it shows we've thought about it and haven't just screamed back at him. Second, he's going to be peaking on Sunday.
Right.
And if we lay in some of the massive stuff that we are planning while he's in Peking.
Lead to a bigger reaction while he's there than when he's
they might have to do some more when he's there.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
Than otherwise. And thirdly, it will show us, having been a little more deliberate, you and I spent 48 hours. We have taken account of his statement, but we don't want either false euphoria nor false panic. The case for doing it quickly is that, by God, they fiddled us along, keeping me there for 10 days, and first for 6 days. And we want to give them a massive shock. Those are the two cases. And those who turn out, the weather would be a little better. On the better.
Yeah, let me take a quick run. That might be helpful. Time to get a little feel of I think it's going to go. Now, this Henry Hughes and I are about the same. His tone, as to what he says, he's got up some much better lines than we worked out yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
Right?
Oh, yeah, but none of it did say
so.
So
he gets, no, it's, well, I think he gets a tone.
Yeah.
Let's, here's what we're talking about, the kind of tone I could give this. Further reflection with regard to our talk last night, I think it was very important that you handled this briefing in a rather detached and not in a manner which could be interpreted either as anger or sorrow. That's tone. What is particularly vital is that you leave no impression that you were attempting to the briefing to defend your statements made in the previous briefing. Well, where the being primarily technical in nature. But until these differences are resolved, the peace agreement would not meet the conditions which I, the President, laid down in my health and speeches for election. We will not be standing in agreement after this longest war in modern history, which would give the appearance of temporary peace, but which would, because of its defects, lay the foundation for the war later on. We feel we have an obligation, after all this time. This is very interesting, Henry. It's a good point you've made, Jason. I have made often enough. To go to North Vietnam and South Vietnam, the people who have suffered war for over 25 years, to make an agreement which has a chance to last. And that is why we are insisting on getting these state ideas worked out so that there can be no misunderstandings. We do not want to have a repetition of the situation in 1968 when there were misunderstandings regarding the bombing up, and we've been paying the price for it ever since. You are having this briefing for the purpose of laying out the differences in an objective way, not with any sense of recrimination, but for the purpose of letting both Hanoi and Haiphong know that the conditions are what the conditions are that we will insist upon before we will redefine the subject. It's very important that you emphasize, I want to get it very simple so that we don't, and Henry can go into a few other details, and that is one of the purely points that I want. You emphasize the goals, the three goals we've been seeking from the beginning, which were laid out by the President in his speeches in January 25th of May. Those goals in principle, were agreed upon, which they were on October 8th, right?
Oh, yeah. Those goals, you shouldn't do any of this today.
And that was why, this is Henry talking, all of this. That was why you felt justified, this is all Henry, in saying that peace was at hand, because we had agreed in principle on those goals. And we still believe that we can and will reach agreement. We have always insisted that there be a ceasefire. While we have agreed on this goal, adequate machinery for policing a ceasefire has not been agreed to. On the contrary, we have been greatly concerned that Hanoi has been making nasty preparations, which can only be interpreted, unfortunately, as laying the foundation for starting up the war and to break the ceasefire. That is why we are particularly insisting on strengthening the language with regard to the ceasefire and call it the machinery of blah, 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 so that it will be one that will be enforceable, so that there will be no doubt on either side in the event that it is broken. The second goal is the return of our POWs. We have agreed in principle on this, but Hanoi has unfortunately recently insisted upon some conditions, without going into them, with regard to civilian prisoners in the South, which are totally unacceptable and under the circumstances. We have to have this matter cleared up before we can be reassured that our POWs will be returned. That's a little stretching, but you've got to make it clear that the POWs are on the line here too, Henry, that they have, that they're insisting on conditions that are unacceptable. Third, we have insisted that the South Vietnamese people shall determine their own future and that a communist government shall not be imposed upon their will. And I have been insisting on conditions which would be inevitably interpreted at this time as imposing a communist government on the people of South Vietnam. This we will never agree to. Incidentally, you should point out this is a new condition, which they have not insisted on before, which is very true. Right?
Yes. I mean, they're doing it I can explain.
But the main thing you've got to say is that we've always said that there must be an autocomplice government code. And now, Hanoi, the new language that the comment that the North Vietnamese are consistent upon is language that creates an impression, unfortunate ambiguities, which could leave the impression that it was a government.
Well, what the Santa Pictures have done, actually, is in the agreement, they've given us what we want, and they've now put it all into the protocol.
All right, fine. You could say that. But we must not have any doubt left on that story, etc. There will be no, because there, what I'm getting at, the points that make sense for the American people, POW, ceasefire that has a chance to last, and no communist government imposing the people of South Vietnam against their will. Those are the three issues, the litmus test issues. It is very important that you come back to the three fundamental conditions that we have laid down as often as possible in the briefing, at least three times.
No, no, we can get away with
that. You can say that we want a ceasefire which has a chance to be permanent rather than some temporary truce. I know you don't like to be a permanent. It has a chance to last.
No, because I think, frankly, there's going to be the goddamnedest mess.
I know. All right. If we want a ceasefire that has a chance to last rather than just some temporary truce, you know, you can pick up the language, but not too much so people can understand what the war's in. That we want a political settlement that does not impose a communist government on the people of South Vietnam against the world, but allows the people under proper international supervision to determine the future with all political parties, including the communists, having an equal chance to present their case to the people. I think that at some point you should get it very firm and clear that the president has had a strong gut desire to get the war settled from the day he entered office 4 years ago. There were strong political considerations for him to get it before the election. Now we have the upcoming Christmas season. His very strong personal desire to get the war settled because of the very special circumstances with regard to the POW, as well as to all the people of North and South Vietnam who have suffered so long as a result of the Vietnamese War. On the other hand, the President insists that the United States of America is not going to allow any artificial deadline to stampede us into making the wrong kind of agreement, which would bring great elation and joy now. Now that peace is here, when actually it would only mean that we would have agreed to, what we would agree to was a temporary truce, which was a prelude without a war. You should also point out that the President insists that the United States is not going to be pushed around, that's your phrase, blackmailed or stampeded into making the wrong kind of a peace agreement. Those are great words which they love to have. We owe responsibility to those who have fought and died in the war. To the people of North.
Who are charmed.
Huh?
Who are charmed.
Yeah.
That's what into a peace agreement. That's, I mean, that's the game they're now playing with me. You know, at their last meeting, they brought me gifts. And
yeah, right. You're not going to be pushed around, blackmailed, charmed, whatever they do. We owe responsibility to those who walked by.
No.
Fitzsimmons fired
very well.
Said he wasn't up to the job.
Yeah. He said he was. That's what he said publicly.
I've agreed everywhere that all my friends are getting purged.
Yeah.
They're full of.
Well, he came through the line. Fitz came through the line. So leering a little. He's crooked and everything. But he's on our side. I don't think you read word as crooked, but I think all the pieces are a little bit. Say this out. work this out in the future. We have, of course, been continuing our military areas since you have operations and other mining operations, pending final agreement. We have a volunteer armed force in Vietnam to be kept there for all of our prisoners of war return. As far as military activities concerned on our part, we are close to watching the other side. And as any ominous building may develop, we will be prepared to act accordingly. You should point out on the plus side, as far as the war is concerned, as we enter this Christmas season, we can all be thankful that we get this no draftee to come into Vietnam on the volunteer. Our casualties have been at either zero or near zero for the past 3 years. No Americans are engaged in ground combat. And for the first time since war began, both sides are negotiating seriously to try and find a peaceful settlement. You can say you've talked to the President. He is confident we will reach him. However, he has also insisted that it be the right kind of agreement, that we will not rush to agreement that is the wrong kind of agreement because of his desire to discuss the grounds of peace. Finally, repeat the fact that we will not use the President's authorization to enter here. And he is insisting. And make me the tough guy. Repeat the fact. We will not accept any agreement which imposes unacceptable conditions in obtaining the release of our POW. Second, we will not agree to any provisions which would have the effect of imposing a communist government in people's out Vietnam. Third, we will not sign any agreement which under the guise of bringing peace now would leave the seas for war later. Now, basically, that's what I did. Try to get across.
No, that is exactly right. The only question is whether we should do it today and Sunday or tomorrow and Monday.
Well, that's what we want around the
show. The timing, we can get
things today. No. You don't get him responding. The timing is goddamn important. If he does it today, he's flying right in the face of Lee Dong To's statement, which is already riding on the wire, right in the wire, that we aren't going to comment on the peace thing. So Henry Kissinger goes out. No matter, even in that tone, which the tone's pretty conciliatory of Julian.
Oh, yes, the tone is fine.
But it still says they have fucked it up.
And they'll get hit while he's in Peking.
And also without a bomb in Peking. My view is that it doesn't make that much difference. Why not go Saturday?
Well, my point is that we can get to the point Saturday could do very well. It doesn't. We're not pressured to go today.
I think what would be a good line today is this, which is quite true, because I work 2 or 3 hours last night.
Of course, I can also go tomorrow.
You say that Dr. Kissinger and the President have been meeting all morning. I think that's a good idea that we met, and that you probably didn't know, but we met last night at the embassy of the entire day. Also, I should find out that Dr. Kissinger has met with the chairman of the Chinese staff, Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, and the Director of the CIA in this last day. How's that sound?
Good. I haven't met the counts yet, but I will.
Yeah, well, sure. Well, skip the office, Sam.
But you can find it.
If I find out that the President, that we have met, that we have given briefing for all of them, the President and Dr. Kissinger met, we're meeting again this morning. Set it up. So, and then tomorrow he goes. But without, then there'll be a smaller group tomorrow. A smaller group. It'll get the right plug. We can write the story for the assholes. And then it'll get everything. And then when the bombing starts Monday.
Of course we can.
I don't like the feel from another standpoint, Bob. Told Henry they're just starting the bombing on Monday morning.
On Sunday morning.
I was wondering about that. You're having a White House worship service for Christmas time and all that. It just isn't the real best day.
I'd rather delay the bomb on Monday.
Of course, we can also have me go tomorrow and still bomb on Sunday. That doesn't have to be 48 hours.
I'd rather bomb on Monday unless you think we need to do it Sunday.
No, we need to give them a good show, but whether that's Sunday or Monday, it doesn't make any difference.
But you can mine on Sunday, bomb Monday.
No, we can mine on Sunday.
But you get the
thing about Ron saying, sir, I think what Ron's saying is that from a purely press or PR or political or public standpoint in this country, it really doesn't make much difference whether you do it today or tomorrow from a substantive standpoint, militarily, diplomatically, and all that. It would appear to make quite a substantial difference whether you do it today or tomorrow, and therefore that should prevail.
But they're lacking in the fight. Henry is going to get one enormous, it's going to be a hell of a story. But it's the main thing, too. We this is a chance to think more, get in tune with it. A lot of this is chemistry.
Absolutely.
A lot of this is chemistry. Henry's going to walk out there confident, and it's been a every sort of interesting thing.
Getting in control of the mess again.
Rather than getting in these matches, push us around. They've been pushing us.
I'm not,
you know where you are.
Well, and I'm not sitting like a rabbit watching these two snakes and tie down in Hanoi and watching, wondering which of the bats is going to strike
right.
Who.
Right. Now, Mr. Della, I would ship Hague off anytime.
Sunday night.
Whenever you want to get Hague off, they don't let that go.
No, Hague goes Sunday night anyway. And we can announce that tomorrow, too.
I have a feeling.
We're announced it Sunday morning. It gives us another story.
Yeah.
Do it Sunday morning. Because my thing
is. The great thing should be followed with an announcement by Hague going to Saigon Sunday morning. That shows that we're working the peace side. Then the next one, we bomb the battery, and shows that we're working the war side.
I think this tone is perfect because you know you've been out before these guys enough. You'll walk out there, and they're going to be primed. And if you present yourself as this tone, indicates in a position.
Well, Henry, this is my bold agreement.
Right, that's what I mean. This, as you outline here, in terms of my impressions, confident, this is what we're going to do, this is where we stand.
I just want to give you an update.
I wouldn't be taking on Lee Ducto within an hour of this being on the wire.
But you're not going to be taking him on here.
No.
You could say these are technical differences, and I'm not going to discuss them. I'm simply going to say there are differences that involve the ceasefire.
Well, I've got to make it tough enough. We've got to hit a line.
I understand. You make it as tough as you want. I was just trying to be the conciliatory one because I'm the one that wants to say, screw you, bomb the bathroom.
I've got to make it tough enough to justify what's going to happen on Monday, which is going to be a spectacular.
Henry, if you say technical difference, if I can just give my view on a technical difference, they will sense that as an opening. Particularly, they will sense it as an opening from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If there's another way you can put that, just by saying there are differences every day.
No, I can do it in terms. I can do it in terms.
Got the lines. I put technical differences just as a shorthand to the things that he told me he was going to tell us.
And I can do it in terms, actually, of the conditions we laid out on October 26th and say they were all easy to fulfill. And one way or another, every time we turn over a rock, I don't want to use that simile there. So
don't get any of that in so that it looks like you're arguing with Lee Ducto and that you've
so
got
that
the ball breakdown. Be very careful that way. And remember, you're mainly talking to the American audience. What will talk to the South Vietnamese or the North Vietnamese audience will be those goddamn bombs. But to this American audience, you want to appear, we're trying. There is hope in this Christmas season. We're doing our best. There are these little differences that we're working out.
That's
a very important. The less specific you are, the better, though.
No, I don't want to be specific because if I am, I'll wind up negotiating with Bernie Grootsman. I'll just list the categories.
Yes, and you can say that the president and I agree that under no circumstances are we going. We have an understanding with regard to the specifics of the details. We will not divulge the negotiations, and we're keeping an understanding. All I'm trying to do, gentlemen, is to give you an objective appraisal of where we stand, and there are differences. Well, the nature of the differences are. The nature of the differences is that they are not on principle. I say that.
Some are on principle.
We all know they're on principle.
No, I
think. They're not on the three principles. Those assholes, you see,
but why
the three principles, Henry, the reason your peace agreement stands up is that they had agreed to POW ceasefire.
No. But wouldn't it be best to say they're trying to slide off these principles in the guise of technicality?
Yes.
And therefore, it would be very easy if it can be settled in.
I would say this. The moment you do that, then you are then taking them on in terms of their motives and so forth. Rather than they're attempting to slide off in the guise of technicalities. It's better language and so forth. That'll start leading. The thing we want led here is we're fighting for our POWs. We're fighting. jeopardize the ceasefire. We cannot jeopardize the principle of communist, of a coalition government itself. See, what I'm getting at is, again, your tone. I don't want you to be up there. I know these assholes out here. They're going to, you see, you're a public figure of the greatest magnitude now, and they're going to try, rather than to write the things that are really sound from our standpoint, POW, ceasefire, no communist coalition. They're going to write Henry Kissinger attempting to rationalize and justify statements that were made before the campaign, said that they were sliding off and so forth. Hanoi then comes back and says, Kissinger is lying. It is not we that have slid off. It is they that have slid off, to a certain extent.
Henry Clinton.
Yeah,
not right.
No. They're
all at this point.
That goddamn psychop. That's what I mean. You remember, after October 8th, they were right. You know, it's a question. So at the present time, Hanoi is the culprit. That's where we're going to bomb the bastards.
The sons of bitches could have settled any day after November 20th.
You know what I know. We all know what is right, but we know what we need to say. We have got to say things that don't put it in the context that it looks as if you were hoodwinked, that we were misleading the people, or any of that. We simply say we could have it. But now, say in the guise if it feels comfortable with you, but I would feel a little better if you were to say that now they are insisting on certain technical conditions and so forth and so on, which many would say were purely technical, but we should agree to. But when you analyze them, they completely destroy the principle and would lead to a communist coalition government. They would lead to a ceasefire that could not be enforced. They would lead to a real jeopardy that's getting the prisoners of war back. Wow.
Yeah, and by interest, and we can say that much we can say by introducing into the protocols obligations which we had rejected before in order to get these three principles. I mean, it isn't we who are holding things up.
Yeah.
If we can show that they have introduced into the protocols new conditions.
I have no problem when you're getting into the protocols, or that'll confuse the press a little, and they'll think you know more than they do about it. Just be sure that you don't talk too much about that for fear that the press will not make the points that the American audience is interested in. American audience don't know the difference between a protocol and Holden Sachs, because they know what Peter is.
Incidentally,
you hear what Moynihan said when Reagan suggested. Everybody, it's a great point. Except Yalvin. Maybe you do. I got it on the phone. I said, not that. Well, you were there with me, weren't you, when I called it?
I was there when you called it once, yeah.
Well, then I told you about what he said. No. He found me with it. Well, anyway,
you didn't tell me what he said. You just,
I
just do what you
said. I said, the problem here is that everybody that goes to India, starting with Chester Bowles, which was your former colleague, and my beloved Pecan Keating, they go there and they become more proto-Indian than they are American. And they all end up kissing Mrs. Gandhi's ass. And I said, if you have that kind of an attitude, I said, you're the R representative. So you're
he's so contentious that they let him out. The reason I thought of him was because he told me, he came in to see me for a few minutes, he was down for something, I forget what it was. And he said, he's sick and tired of the fact that no American ever talks back to that crap that's put out all over, well, he didn't say it, he meant the UN. And he gave a really good speech at the UN a year and a half ago. Now, he will hear more crap in India that will get up his... I mean, he'll just automatically... out of with Moynihan, the reason he came in to see me is to talk me into going back to Harvard.
Really?
Yeah, but here, he rushes out of Harvard.
It's really funny, because boy, he jumped at that idea, like, he's all excited about it. His wife is all excited. He said, my wife wouldn't consider living in New York. My wife wouldn't live in New York. She wouldn't live in that despicable place. And I said, but she will live in New Delhi. He said, yes, sir.
The
main thing is he's going to crack with us, and he'll get so fed up with the Indians, just like he got fed up with the blacks, you know, when he wrote the famous book about the black pastor.
He's an honest
now.
We need somebody for Pakistan, though, very soon.
Listen up.
Because he's got there.
Are you going to put Farland? Still think Farland's best for the Mideast and Hill for Latin America.
Hill would be good for Latin America.
Have you got anybody for Africa? I want to lose some out of there. I like him as a person, but
well,
or do you want to leave?
Oh no. Hill couldn't do Africa. Because we need a really tough, mean bastard for us.
Hill's tough and mean.
What?
Hill? Oh, he'll do anything we say. He'd go out and cut the calls.
Hill could, for example. There's a rather good...
There's something to be said not to send Hill back to New England, America.
There's a guy...
He's been to Spain. What did he do Africa?
The minister at the embassy in Paris, a fellow by the name of Kubitz, he could do Latin America.
He sure could. He's a hell of a guy.
He's a hell of a guy. He's smooth. He was in Mexico. He'd be totally our guy. And we need
I'd
to
like pick up a guy like that and push him into it.
Kubitz is a guy, and he's a...
You know him.
Yeah, and I think he's a hell of a fine
and
guy.
If we pick,
that's good. And then why not put Hill in Africa?
And if we had Hill in Africa, there'd be
no sense. Everything that we say.
Exactly.
And he will not be, and Hill basically is
not pro State Department, too.
It would kill the State Department. I mean, that would really curse him out.
Well, we tell him we want different kinds of people in different places.
And Hill would be totally our guy.
Yeah, now you're satisfied with Farland.
I'm satisfied. Farland, that's right. The India-Pakistan thing, he was spectacular.
What do you think? That's Mideast, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, a guy I really think would be best for East Asia is the man we have in Laos, Godley. He's a tough...
Rather than...
Cisco. I feel Cisco an embassy someplace, like Turkey.
Right. Cisco ambassadors. How about Cisco to Pakistan?
That's a good one.
McCabre wants Turkey, and McCabre we need to move to.
Yes.
Good spot.
Cisco to Pakistan, that's a good move.
Cisco to Pakistan, tell him it's Turkey, sends me the list of folks, we need somebody there. And now will he be pro-Indian?
No. Cisco, the thing we have to do is Cisco's get him in before he goes and say, you have your eye on him.
I do.
And he'll get a high vote.
They need to get out of the country for a while. They all love to go to embassy or something.
Yeah, well, Cisco isn't quite a foreign service officer, but that would get him out elegantly. And he's energetic. He'd be a good spokesman for Pakistan. All these ambassadors turn into spokesmen for their country.
Maybe you put in Marshall Green.
Marshall Green, goddamn, he's 60 years old, isn't he? Retireless on
him. We're going to move Cisco into this Marshall Green job.
Yeah, Godley's more energetic.
Well, that's East Asia.
Well, yeah. Godley deserves it. He's been sitting there, and he's totally loyal, isn't he?
Absolutely.
And a total hardliner.
And he's an absolute hardliner. He's been fighting that war. Then we could move White House from Saigon to Laos.
As ambassador?
Yeah.
And who do you put in Saigon? Oh,
Graham.
You've got to call him, you know, if you're trying to piss on that estate or something.
Well, Al tells me that he talked to Graham talk, in fact, after Bob talked to me yesterday, I said to Al, send it back down to the grave, that I want to see him and explain the importance of Saigon. He said, that's unnecessary. Graham is dying to get the job. The only thing he wants is to make sure he's working for the State Department there, but for you...
Well, he probably was playing a smart move. It's just telling him he didn't want to use, his own game.
That if he knows he's your man there and that he has direct access to you, then hell,
that's
why...
That's all that's understood then about the other thing.
That's why we want him there.
Well, all right, you go tomorrow.
I think under those conditions I go tomorrow. Now, we still can do the military operations on Sunday.
No, I'd rather not. I have other reasons for not wanting to do it Sunday, because I don't want to blast them on Sunday when I am having a church service here.
All right.
I'd rather do the Monday. Tell the military everything is on Monday except the mining.
Now, the mining, then we should slip till Sunday, so that's because they'll see bloody murder when these planes come up the Haiphong estuary.
Would you prefer not to do the mining on Monday, too?
No, the mining should be a day before.
All right, fine. Let the mining...
Because we need the planes.
That's okay.
But
the
mining, anyway, won't be...
Good.
They won't be...
Now, Henry, it'll give you a chance to do some thinking, so forth. You got any good lines and so forth.
Well, I've got the good lines here, but I'll do a little bit of an outline now.
Henry, you mind? When you left Paris, that statement that you made at the airport about you'll stay in touch with messages, that came over very effectively on film because you projected an image of confidence.
We aren't going to get it. But on the other hand,